Jesus, the Son of God, came into our humanity, our broken humanity, in order to share with us our brokenness, that he should be broken for us, that in him we might be made whole, complete, and renewed in him we might be ready for heaven and fit to live in this world. Jesus died to make us whole human beings, united with our Father in heaven and with one another. That is to say, Jesus came and died that in communion with him we might be a holy people, that we might share in his holiness. And some of the words we've just sung in that hymn are taken from Isaiah chapter 6. And the book of the prophet Isaiah is often spoken of as the prophet, the book of the prophet of holiness, where Isaiah sees the glory of God and is filled with fear and awe, and yet also experiences a cleansing for his unclean lips and his unclean heart. In Isaiah 35, which we read today, we read of the way of holiness. Verse 8 says, "And a highway will be there, it will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, it will be for those who walk in that way." God is holy, and we must be holy in him. He made us in his image, that we should reflect his holiness to all the earth. "Be ye holy as I am holy." In the same way that he is holy, so we should be holy. Isaiah speaks of this way or road of holiness. Holiness is not just a state of heart or mind, it is the way we move through life's journey. We read of Jesus himself that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. His whole life and the way he lived his life, is the movement of his life to death and resurrection, was the way of holiness. And so we need to learn and to live holiness. And what is holiness? Being good. Well, yes, but not goody-goody in the sense of being soppy or soft or a sissy. It does not mean being holier than thou in the sense of being a spiritual snob or a churchy snob. That's certainly not what it means. It has three basic meanings. First of all, it means to be separate or different. In this sense, things may be holy, not just people. We talk about a holy place. This building in which we meet now is not just for any old activity, but in this building we know only God's glory must be praised. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is to keep it separate and different. It is the Lord's day. And when we say that God is holy, we mean that he is different. He's not just part of the universe. He created the universe. He is not one of us, but he's highly exalted above all. Secondly, holiness means to do what is right. God does what is right. When we say God is holy, we're putting all his characteristics together. His love, his mercy, His truth, His justice, His righteousness. All these things together are the wholeness or the holiness of God Himself. And thirdly, holiness means a mystery. It's something that inspires in us awe and worship in the sense of fearing the Lord. I think I mentioned 2 or 3 months ago what C.S. Lewis says of this kind of fear. He imagines us in a room in which we're told that there is a tiger in another room next to us. And our reaction would be one of fear because we know what tigers can do. But if we were told that there was a great and wonderful spirit going to come into our presence, into our room, we would experience a different kind of fear. We don't know what wonderful spirits may do. And that kind of fear is what we often call dread. Not the same as being afraid of a tiger or of unemployment or losing our job, but the sort of dread before that which is great and wonderful and awesome and mysterious. Just as John in the book of Revelation saw the glory of Christ and fell on his face as though dead. And Christ put his hand upon him and said, "Fear not." Just as Mary, when she was told she was to give birth to a son, was filled with fear. That is dread. Not the same kind as fear of a wild animal, but fear in the sense of awe. And the messenger from God said, "Fear not." The holiness of God then is that He is different. Is that He is righteous, loving, merciful, just. In that He is awesome. That He is great. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up with 3 of His disciples, they saw the vision of Moses and Elijah with Jesus. And Peter wanted to make 3 tents. And then a cloud came up over them. And the voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." At that point, the disciples covered themselves, for they were filled with awe. It was the very voice of God. Just like Elijah on the side of the mountain, he saw the great wind, the earthquake, and the fire, which may have made him afraid in a superficial sense, in an ordinary sense. But when he heard the still, small voice, then he covered his face. He experienced dread before God. Now this must not be forgotten. I was once attending a service in the United States. I remember the minister introduced the service by welcoming everybody to the church. He said, "We hope you have a happy time at the service and we're glad to have you among us." And then he began his prayer, and his prayer was as if it was the same as the welcome to the people. "Oh God, we're so glad you're along with us today, and we hope you'll be happy in the service." There was just a total lack of any of the sense of awe. Maybe I'm being unfair to him, and I'm not mentioning his name. You wouldn't know it in any case. But there we are. I was the impression there of not a sense of awe. But does that mean that God is distant and unknowable? Let's think of Jesus himself. He was the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. He is the Holy One. Was he unknowable? Was he distant? No, on the contrary. He was a friend of the tax collectors and sinners and the children. He was one with whom ordinary people felt at home. He could be approached by anyone, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, old and young. There was a great, awesome holiness about Jesus, yet also he was the friend of all, especially the lowly and especially the children. I don't know whether you've ever seen a film of the life of Jesus where someone has acted Jesus. I've seen a number of these films and I have never felt happy with them. I felt that either Jesus was made out to be so friendly and so chummy that there was nothing awesome left. Or, like an Italian film about the life of Jesus I once saw, he was so awesome and distant that he became very unattractive and unapproachable and rather a fierce character. But the real Jesus was both. It's not that he was sometimes approachable and sometimes holy and awesome. He was both at the same time throughout his life. He combined the two in one. And that's why it's very difficult to act the person of Jesus. Because in him is united both God and man, both heaven and earth, in the one person. Supposing you and I were to write in our own words the story of Jesus, either we would make him so awesome that he would lose his friendliness, or we'd make him so friendly that he would lose his holiness. But if you read the Bible account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, you get both at the same time, combined together in a wonderful way. And that's one reason why the Bible is a very unique book. Why in its very humanity, as I've said before, in its very humanness, we also hear God himself. There is no other book like that. And that's why the Bible is a holy book. And you and I are called to be holy. With Mount Holiness no man shall see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That doesn't mean that we're to be spiritual snobs, or holier than thou, or goody-goody in the soppy sense of that word. It means, firstly, our lives must be dedicated to God. Secondly, that we must live with right conduct of love and truth and righteousness and courage. And thirdly, that there must be some mystery about the Christian life. Remember, Jesus says, the Spirit blows where he wills. Like the wind, you know not where it comes from or where it goes. So is he or she who is born of the Spirit. In other words, the Christian life cannot be explained fully in terms of psychiatry or sociology, because the Christian is in touch with another world. And yet, at the same time, he or she must be approachable by ordinary people, not a distant churchy snob. And it's only in Christ that that can be worked out in our own lives. Just read verse 8 to 10 again of this passage. And a highway will be there, it will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there or any ferocious beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. The way of holiness. How do we get on to it? Jesus said, I am the way. The human nature of Jesus shows us the way, not just as an example, but through his word. As we humbly open our hearts to his word, then he gradually in our life brings us to that point. Though we may not be aware of it, others will. And if we walk that way, trusting the Lord who is meek and lowly in heart, then these words will also be true. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Gladness and joy will overtake them. It's rather like the end of Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Meaning, gladness and joy, goodness and mercy are pursuing us through our life when we're redeemed in Christ, pursuing us, and one day they will take hold of us, and then for us there will be no escape from gladness and joy, and sighing and sorrow will be gone forever. May that be true of all of us here this evening. Let us pray. We bow before thee, O God, for thou alone art holy. And yet, in thy great holiness, thou hast become one of us, so that we might know thee and love thee and approach thee as our Father through thy Son. And so we come to thee, the Holy One of all of nature and all of the universe, we come to thee and offer to thee what thou most desire from us, the love of our poor heart. So receive us in thy grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.